All right, let's see here. If you'll turn over to Romans, if you would, a few places we'll look at today. Lord willing. Let's see. I wanted to be in Isaiah too. Let me look over here. Yeah. Y'all be praying for us. We got those decisions. I got to meet with them Tuesday, I guess. I'm not going to fly down there. They're just going to call me. And want to know what I've decided to do. And so I'll, hopefully with the Lord's guidance, see what be His will to do as far as further treatment or whatever we decide to do. I want to mark this here because I was thinking about Isaiah 2 over here if we look. And this goes back to last week. We talked about the church being a mystery. And sometimes we try to answer the definition. What is the church? The church is. And I thought about, it's going to the Salvation Army, going out into the community, and going out and visiting, helping our fellow Christians in time of need. I thought about what it is to the community, just the building standing. You said, well, you mean just the building? Well, back in the day, there was a time when you passed by and you didn't find people sitting in the parking lot. You didn't find people cutting up out back in the parking lot of the church. You had respect for the things of the church. I recently read in the Wall Street Journal, and I meant to bring it to you, to read it to you, that it's talking about that in Europe. And he was talking about, now again, this included, if I get the article correct, but now I'm just going to tell you what it, they were just looking at religion across the board, so let's get that out of the way first, but this religion is what they're looking at. So you got to take it with a grain of salt when you look at that, but they looked at what the Protestant, Catholic, then non-Protestant, or non-religious, I guess. And you said, why are you looking at Europe? Well, because you wonder if those trends don't translate over here to some extent. And they said, what had occurred in some of your European countries, I think they used Ireland as an example, was back in like the 1970s when you would have, and again, this is just religion across the board, so we're not, but just, they said you would have either, a Protestant, like a, preacher come in. I guess that would be you consider maybe a Methodist or some type of evangelical church, and they gave a few names, and of course some of them I didn't recognize. Of course that might be there in Europe only. Talked about the Pope visiting their country, etc. That people came out in swarms to see them. They'd crowd the road, or they'd crowd the churches. People couldn't get in if certain traveling preachers, so to speak, would come. And that was in the 70s. And they said they saw a lot of laws passed, anti-abortion laws, had a lot of anti-homosexuality laws passed, all that occurred up through the 70s, 80s, 90s, and said they were very, religious from that standpoint. And the other country they used, I believe, was Hungary, if I'm not mistaken. No, Poland, because they talked about Warsaw, Poland. And said the same thing occurred there. And what they were doing was comparing apples to apples here. And you said, where are you going with this? Because I'm trying to get to what the church is. What does the church really mean? And I wish I'd have saved it and gave you the statistics. But so somebody went back and looked at it again in 2018. And so they went back to Ireland. And they found out now that if the Pope went down the street, he wouldn't get but about 20%, 25% of the crowd that he would have gotten 30 years ago. If they have a traveling or a person come to their local church, or they'd called it a Protestant church, and again, they gave it a name. It wasn't Church of England, but it was a name. They said crowds are down by about 75%. And so when they went and started asking people in the area, they found out most were either atheist or agnostic now. And that occurred since the 70s till now. And they said majority of that was made up from the ages of 18 to 45. And then what bothers you about it is there's no belief in God. There's more belief in mankind. In other words, there's more worship of the creature than there is the Creator. And they were giving and using that as an example. And what they used was the laws have been changed recently in Ireland too. Abortion now can be done in Ireland. homosexuality now, same-sex marriage is allowed in Ireland now. And they use that as an example of a country that's very, very conservative. And again, I'm just using, again, we're just looking at it across the board from just a religious standpoint and what people maybe would have thought. Well, they go back over and look at Poland, and Poland took the opposite approach than Warsaw did. They've got even more and more conservative. They're allowing more missionaries in. They're allowing more people in teaching what they said Christianity. So now they've got the Catholics, and they mentioned that church again. Again, I wish I could remember the name of it. It'd come to me, and it'd be probably on the way home. But they're allowing more missionaries in. And more Bibles coming in. And so you wonder what's happened between the two countries. So when they asked one country, the leaders of the country said, well, we've just kind of got caught up with the times. That's what's said in Ireland. Said that's just the way the world's going. It's what we believe we were too strict, believe in freedom, people ought to have their own choices, etc. You go back over to Poland, they said, no. That's not the case. Said, we believe there is a God. We believe there's an almighty power. And they did. That's what they said. And said, we don't want to forget that as a people. We want to remember that. And I thought, here's someone who, and again, I don't know their affiliation, so you got to keep that in mind. This was all an article, too, in a newspaper. But what they were pointing out was the direction of both these countries who were on the same path in the 70s. And in a 30, 35-year time span now are completely different. It made me think what Pastor did last Sunday about using the plant as Christ and the church moving away as the world moved. And that's what Ireland has done, according to that art. They have moved. And I think Preston represented the world, so as he moved across, the church moved with it. And so that made me think about this, is what is the church? What the church is? And, you know, it was good to hear and see, though, that there's other countries, not just us, but people. And again, this was in Warsaw where they were talking about that. So that's their capital, I guess, if I recall right. I think it is one of the larger cities where there's still a movement of Christianity, where there's missionaries being allowed in. Of course, you remember that nation there. There's only one other nation that's been overthrown or occupied more times than them. So we can go back to World War II, World War I, even before that. I worked with a guy whose grandmother came from Poland, and she could speak four languages. And I asked him why, and he said, well, that's because about every 4 or 5 years, another country would overthrow him. She'd have to learn that language to talk to whoever was in charge in another country, another country, another country. And it's like they remember that in their roots. So I share that with you because that's important to them today, or according to what I was reading, what the church is, what it means to them, and what the church means to us. What does it mean to us here in Bloomingdale, and talk not only our brothers and sisters that we pray for, but what does it stand for in this country, in this nation? And I hope, and I was telling, I forget who it was, it wasn't Bud and Jewel, that's Kim's mom and dad, it was someone come by to visit, I talked to Pastor Miss Eve, but if someone else had stopped by, and I don't remember who it was, and I can't blame that on chemo brain. I have to blame that on just old brain. I'm getting older and can't remember if they stopped by to see me. And we talked about, you know, what's it going to be like for our children or the age group now that's 25, 30 years old? What are they going to see or have? What are they going to deal with? We laugh now about this movement, you know, they talk about in our country, not getting into politics. We don't do that. Of course, here, try not to in Sunday school class, but you know, there's differences of opinion. There's some that, you know, feel like that, I guess they would call it more of a socialist movement. There's some conservatives, some moderates or whatever. And we laugh about some of the ideas they have now, but I'm sure that happened in Ireland too, probably, at some point over that 35 or 40 years. Now look where they're at. And again, the age group was 18 to 45 is where that's most popular. And if you look at the working age or the number of workers in that country is the age of the populace for what you would think of the ones in charge and working, and that's that age group you would see. And so how important is the church? So I had us over in Romans 9:25-26 last week, and we talked about an unrevealed truth or the mystery of the church. And I thought we'd look over into Isaiah. And, you know, there's one other place too here before I get started. So I can flip right to it here. Let me find it here. That was Ecclesiastes. I don't want to go there, but I think it was Daniel 11 or 7. Let me find it, and I'll go ahead and mark it too. As you can tell this morning, I just prayed and asked the Lord to put something on my heart and give me the words He'd have me to say. And talking about the church, these scriptures are coming to mind, and I'm going to mark them and lay them aside there, and we'll look at Romans 9 and see what it says here. Romans 9, and I think I said verses 25, 26, or let's see, verse 20, 24. Even us, whom He hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As saith also in Hosea, I will call them My people, which were not My people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was, said unto them, You are not My people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also crieth out concerning Israel, Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For He will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make on the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of the Sabbath had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and made like unto Gomorrah. You think about that. What shall we say then, that the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, now you're talking about us, the Gentiles, not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even as righteousness which is of faith. In other words, what's the church to us? That's what he's explaining here. This is as important as it is to us. You say, oh, it's good. We come out and park in the parking lot. We come in. We walk in. No, to savings of our soul. We got a Savior, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that God sent for us, sent to the Jews. But also, as we look many times, I thought about the Good Samaritan the other day. He was a Gentile. The examples were given in the Bible. And then here we go back to, as we see here, says, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness. We were dogs. We were outside the nation of Israel. Have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. That's what the church is. You know, Pastor came up with, I mentioned that last Sunday just briefly as we winding up the Sunday school about the church being a mystery. And he mentioned Scripture to me and we talked just a second. He said, you know, even the angels inquire and about salvation and about the church and you know, you think they even to them it's a mystery to be revealed. And I think about the prophets as they go back and look through time. They didn't really, well, maybe they did know. I don't know. I wasn't in the mind. But from reading, we always talk about how they saw peaks of different times. And they didn't always see the valley, which would be the time length. But, you know, they knew that something was coming. Either Savior was coming. So we talk about that, and let's look over in Isaiah. We flip there. That's one place where I wanted to look as we think this morning what the church means to us. The church is a mystery. And I think it was Isaiah 53. Now I'm going by memory here. And I spilt a little something there on my Bible. I don't know what it was. It might have been when I was eating breakfast there one morning or something, but a little water or something stuck my pages together. But anyway, I think it's Isaiah 53, 1 through 12 here. I don't know if I'll read them all, but I've got it marked there. Maybe just about 1 through 6, but we'll look and see. The suffering of the servants. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root of the dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire. He is despised and rejected of men. And we look here and we think about the church as being a mystery. Talk about the sufferings of the church and sufferings of Christ. And we go from the mystery to the glory. So as we think about this and we read, think about now, we're looking at the suffering, something that, as we read out here, that is going to be despised, but eventually it's going to be glorified. He is despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, the mystery of the church. He was yet oppressed. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to our slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opens not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Again, this is for, I think, the church. This is us. For the Gentiles that we read just about earlier. And also anyone that would be saved. But we were dogs outside the commonwealth of Israel. And as Isaiah explains here, and of course you know he's going here, he's talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, shall prolong his day. Oh, let me back up here. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Back to verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief, and thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. You think about that this morning. I think about that as we go back, and as I read that article and thought, and again, it was just discussing in general, but said as they went back into the same areas, and they compared it to something that was written, I guess, in maybe one of the London papers or something back in the late 70s about religion and a religious movement and the conservative nature of the way they were voting. Again, no abortion and no homosexuality and et cetera, et cetera. And there was other laws that they had passed. One thing they pointed out was they compared it to today. And as they went back and looked, and it was the same age groups, I thought as I read that, and I remember sitting at the kitchen table, said, what changed? What changed in their life? What made the people change? Was it the families? Was it the way they were raised? Is that the same way here? Why do we think the way we do now? We say a lot, and I've mentioned, and my kids still just, there's a few things my kids have a hard time understanding. My children do. One is when we went to the Smithsonian's in Washington, D.C., they could not believe we ever stood in a phone booth and made a phone call. And they look at that, and to them that's odd. And they think that's strange. And they'll say, you mean you guys actually got in there and shut the door and put money in these machines and dialed somebody? I said, yeah. And they just shake their head. They said, well, we'd like to see one. I said, well, there's not any left. You can't find them anymore. And you say, why would you tell us that? Because a lot of times things I also tell them about church, I'll say, yeah, guys, I'd say, good thing you remembered you needed that graph paper for math tomorrow, because we'll have to swing by and get that Sunday after church. But I said, when I grew up, and I'll say, okay, here he goes. If you didn't get that on Saturday, you didn't get it. Everybody was closed. That's changed. Wednesdays, I remember going to the dentist sometimes on Wednesdays, and my mom, she'd say, you got to hurry. We got to hurry to get there. I said, they'll close at 4 on Wednesday. And I'd say, why? She'd say, well, they go to church. I don't know how many times she told me. I don't know why she always tried to get Wednesday appointments, but she did. I guess that way they rush me in there and jerk my teeth out if they needed to and get me out quicker. You know, but I thought about that. Drugstore closed. Little city drugstore is what it was called on the square, and they closed at 4 o'clock as well. Everybody went home, and just growing up, we assumed they went to church. My kids would never see that. Just like I use that phone booth as an example to them, that's something that's, oh, I've never seen that. I don't know that. So I wonder about that with our church. That's what's happened with it as well as times pass by. You know, people see now on TV, see how people act. Somebody earlier mentioned in prayer, Brother John taking prayer requests about how our nation acts and what they see. Well, that's all they'll know. Our kids growing up, they won't know how it was years before. And you think about that as we time passes and continues on. And you think about all these negative things that you may hear in the news and radio or whatever it may be. Well, to them, that'll be commonplace. How many of us in here would have ever thought somebody walked into a school with a gun and started shooting people? We never would have thought that. That right there would have been somebody. If somebody had told us that in 1975, 1980, 85, we'd say, you're crazy. Where'd that happen at? What country was that in? That's what we'd thought. We'd say, where was that at? We'd might have named off, you know, South American country. Might have said, you know, Brazil or Guatemala or something. You know, we might have named off Venezuela. We might have named off somewhere else. But never here. You think about that. And I think about saying, what does the church mean to us today? And what's it going to mean to us tomorrow? And how do we pass that along to this next generation that's coming along behind us? Like I gave the example of the phone booth. How are we going to give examples to grandkids that say, you know what, people used to walk the aisles. They'll say, what? I'd say, they'd be under conviction. Lord, work on them. He'd save them. Knock on their heart, draw them to Him. Holy Spirit would. They'd say, what? And you know, I know Brother John says a lot, so he'd like to see old-fashioned revival break out like we had before, or see something break out, he said before. Have a move even of the Christians off the bench, whatever it may be. I remember going to a little church, and it was in Yuma, not Yuma, Virginia. There's a Yuma, Tennessee, and I know there's a Yuma, Arizona. It's also a Yuma, Tennessee. And I remember going to church there, because that's where my grandmother would go to church, and you could not go to church. It's a Baptist church. Still there today. Sits on the corner. Without somebody praising the Lord, standing up either in the choir or out in the pews as a member. Or not a member, but I mean out as a visitor or whoever it may be, and praising God. It happened every single service. And I remember thinking, going there as a kid, I was thinking, because sometimes they pop up right next to you and go to praising God. And I'm going back, I was only 6 or 7 years old, but I remember that happening, and it still stuck with me. How often do we see that today? What's the church mean to us? And the thing is, you say, we're using that little church in Yuma. I would say, if I'd been in Sullivan County, same thing would have been going on up here, Washington County, across Tennessee, across this nation. Back in those days, people were praising God. Church, did it mean something different to us? Have we started thinking differently? Or have we slowly, as a pastor, and see, that's what stuck with me from his example, and we'll use Preston again. Don't take Preston as the world. He's moving away. You'll see him going out the door in a minute. You'll say, there he goes, gets the world. But, you know, he pretended to be the world. And as he moved, pastor of the church, he said, well, I'll step over here, but I'll keep my distance. I'll step over here, but I'll keep my distance. And that's what got me looking at this, is what the church really is. What does it mean to us? Come here, look over here. And I said I was going to look in Daniel. Let's read here, and you can just stay right here with me. And I'll read a few places. Let me check my time. I just got 3 or 4 minutes left. But as we look here in Daniel, since we looked at the sufferings that Christ was endure for us, and what the church should mean to us, and what Isaiah was looking ahead. He was looking forward. And see, I think that's what we live in today, which is fine, and we need to think about today, but we also need to think about our future. And we do as far as our soul and being saved. But we think about others that are lost and dying in their sin. And we, you know, who was it we said last week, was that the week before, we mentioned, and I know for myself, and there's probably others, you don't have the burden for others that you seem like you should have. for years I battled with myself back and forth, trying to, a lot of my lessons, if you'll go back and look, and I've done this. And I should bring them. If you ever want to see them, I've got a stack. I guess, I don't know, it's a big folder. The kids could tell you. It's so large, stuff falls out of it all the time. And all them lessons, maybe I never even brought to church. But they were lessons that I was working on myself. What I mean is I was investigating in the Bible and studying it out, saying, am I truly saved or am I not? And I would develop a lesson that way sometimes. And it'd be teaching to myself, or trying to not convince myself, but study out myself. In other words, I was trying to, I don't know, I'm not going to try to say outthink what the lesson of the scripture, but I was trying to dig and find something. So what's the church mean to us today? Are we still trying to dig? Are we still trying to find? Are we still trying to look for those lost souls? Are we still trying to pray for the ones that are lost? Still trying to pray for each other? Still trying to look, that's what I mean, I say look forward as a church. And you say, well, we got to live today. And that's true. We have no promise of tomorrow. That's true. And I'm one of the firm believers in that. I tell people that now. I tell people now, enjoy the day. Just the other day, somebody said, yeah, we're going out to eat lunch. He's at work. And that one young lady said, yeah, they got that devil's food cake down there. But, oh, I probably don't need to get one. And somebody mentioned before, how long since you've been there? Oh, it's been a month or two since I've been there. I told her, I said, well, I'd get that devil's food cake while he's there. I said, you might as well enjoy it every now and then. I said, there's no need to cut it out all the time. And I reached in my pocket and gave her $5. She said, what's that for? I said, bring me one back. I said, if you get you one, bring me one back. I said, I can't eat that every day, but every now and then it's a treat. So as a church, we need to be thinking about that too. Bring me one back. Let's look and see. You know, just recently, not long ago, a preacher talked about pulling them out of the fire. Pulling them out of the fire. So we need to keep that in our mind. Where's the church at today? Where are we going? Let's look here real quick at Daniel and I'll be done. This looks at the glory of Christ. If I remembered this right, I hope I did. I think it's in Daniel 7. Give me just a second. Like I said, I know you can't have downtime in any type of class. People's minds wander. They don't wander, they wander away. You know, as I mentioned before, they say in class that a lot of times, about 50% of the people come, just see what the other 50% are going to do. I know I sound that way in church, but still I like to try to keep things moving. Let's see, verse number 12. I think I'm getting over close, Daniel 7. As concerning the rest of the beast, they that had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. Okay, let me see. Maybe 13 here. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. And came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion. Oh, yeah, that's what I was looking for. And glory. And a kingdom. That all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is as an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. And his kingdom that shall not be destroyed. The church is a mystery. So we'd be the bride of Christ. That's a mystery to some. Again, why do we come to church on Sunday? Why do we fellowship with one another? Why do we pray? You know, and you look at some in the world, again, as it moves away and the church moves closer. You start hearing the word atheist. You start hearing the word agnostic. And, you know, you look around, and I could go back over into Psalms, and for the sake of time, I can't. And I go back and I read that sometimes just for myself. I'll admit I have to as an encouragement. Where David asked, why does the wicked prosper? Why does it seem like they get along so well? And so as you look and you read and you think about, and you say, well, they don't believe in God. They seem to be doing pretty good, not having any problems. But you know, that's only a short period of time. Life is like a vapor. And then we pass away. So try to keep in mind is in your life, and especially as your children and grandchildren, your neighbors, your friends, what the church is. What's the church stand for? 2019. And are you going to stand for that and continue to stand? Or are we going to be like these other nations in that article that I read compared to two nations? Or are we going to go the Stay Conservative is, again, I'm 99% sure it was Warsaw, Poland, where they did the interview, where they're getting more conservative, bringing in more missionaries, bringing in more Bibles. Or we're going to go the way of Ireland, where it says, we don't need that. Oh, we don't care who comes. Our churches are empty now. We're combining them. We don't believe in God. We don't believe in an maybe there is an almighty power, but we don't need to answer to them. We answer. We're ourselves. In other words, as I mentioned earlier, we worship the creature more than the Creator. So think about that this morning. Hope that's meant something to you. Make you think about that, where the church is today, where you're at today as well. Pray for the service, and that's it. You got plenty of time to visit this morning. Thank you for your attention. It was a real good crowd this morning. Thank you.